As a young college student, Brandy Swindell witnessed the heartbreaking trauma and grief her friend experienced after having an abortion. It was then that she realized abortion not only destroys the life of an innocent, pre-born child, but it also destroys the spirit of the mother. Brandy knew she had to do something. She went on to found Stanton Healthcare, a women's healthcare provider which specializes in serving women with unexpected pregnancies, and its affiliate, the Stanton Public Policy Center, an advocacy and educational movement that seeks to empower women. Stay tuned to hear about Brandy's mission to speak the truth on abortion and related issues, and her strategy for the pro-life movement in post-Roe America. Brandy, it's so great to have you out here.
Well, thank you
for coming out. I think it's been over a decade since I've gotten to see you in person.
I think you're right. We are always kind of like ships passing in the night at different events and things. Yeah.
But it's incredible what you've done, not just in the last 10 years, but before, and I'm so excited to talk about it, as well as the future in post-Roe America of especially our service movement, serving women, families, and babies, which is your heart, I know. So you're the founder of Stanton Healthcare, which is a group, a franchise of facilities, medical clinics across the country.
Yep.
And we're going to talk about that. But first of all, when did you first become pro-life?
Yeah, so I actually have always been pro-life, always embraced my faith. So that was something that I always considered myself, you know. And in high school, actually, I remember I went to a private school and sitting through Bible class, and our teacher did a whole section, a 2 week time on abortion and the reality of abortion. And I remember it just rocked my world, just kind of opening my eyes on really what it was all about. But really a pivotal moment for me, Lila, was the summer of 1997. I had always considered myself pro-life, but it wasn't until there was this moment that really sort of made the issue a reality to me, and that was when I was working in Yellowstone National Park for the summer. I was working at a lodge out there, waiting tables, and I had a couple of roommates in a little cabin, and one of them ended up getting pregnant during her time out there in the park. And there was a series of events that occurred where I found out that she was pregnant and that she was actually planning to get an abortion. And the way I found out was we shared a nightstand, and there was a phone book on the nightstand. And I thought, what is that phone book doing there? We don't even have a phone in our cabin in Yellowstone. And I looked at it, and it was earmarked to a list of abortion providers in Bozeman, Montana, the closest town where she could get an abortion. And so I talked to her about it and said, are you okay? Is something going on? And she said, everything's fine. And I just blurted it out, are you pregnant? And she started crying and said, yes, I am. So I begged and pleaded for that baby, offered to help her in multiple ways. Didn't know how to be a client advocate at that time, didn't know how to counsel a woman out of abortion, but just pleaded as much as I could. And I just fell in love with this baby. And I remember very specifically the day she was scheduled to have the abortion. I had worked a morning shift up at the lodge, and she was scheduled to have the abortion at about 11 a.m., go to Bozeman, have the abortion. And so I ended my shift at about 3, was walking back to our shared cabin. And I remember walking up the little steps to her cabin and putting my hand on the doorknob to the door and turning it and slowly opening the door. And I was hoping, Lila, that I would open it and she would be in there and she would jump up and give me a hug and say, I changed my mind. But when I opened the door, I saw her laying in the fetal position on her bed, and it was her limp body. And I could feel it in the air, and I could see it in her limp body that she had had the abortion. And she was never the same after that. And that's when I realized not only is abortion destroying the life of an innocent preborn child, but it destroys the spirit of the woman. It breaks her. It gives me chills to say that. And that's when I really saw it. What a lie. What a lie to say that abortion is good for women. So that's when I said that prayer, right? Lord, you've opened my eyes. Please use me. And from there, I was off to New York to work for a national pro-life leader. And then from there, I moved to Washington, D.C. and worked for some national pro-life organizations, and then moved to Ireland, worked with a great pro-life group there, Youth Defense, and it just all kind of snowballed from there. And I've been doing activism for almost 25 years now.
Incredible.
Yeah.
How old were you when you first started?
Oh, early 20s. I'm aging myself on camera, Lila. Just kidding.
But it's been a work since the beginning for you.
It absolutely has. Full-time pro-life activism. And as you know, it's full of its ups and downs, its challenges, and those miracles of a life saved. And I just couldn't think of anything more important to be spending my time doing than fighting for the lives of innocent children and really being a voice for women, you know, that both you and I, you know, represent, that there are millions of pro-life women across America, and we reject abortion as healthcare. We reject Planned Parenthood's narrative that abortion is good for women.
When did you first start Stanton? Because you were working with other leaders and not-for-profits, but you innovated and started something that has a very special contribution for the movement and I think can be a model for others.
Yes. Yeah. I appreciate you asking that. So I actually founded Generation Life before I founded Stanton, which was kind of a youth activism and action organization. But in 2006, I founded Stanton Healthcare, and it was really kind of a simple, almost kind of funny story, and that where I'm from, Idaho, born and raised, I'm an Idaho girl. In Boise, we actually didn't have a pregnancy medical clinic that was doing ultrasounds. We had a couple care centers, but they weren't doing ultrasounds. And so I had met with them about maybe bringing ultrasound imaging, you know, which is a game changer when a woman sees her baby for the first time, incorporating that into their clinics, and they just really weren't interested. And so I said that prayer and had that thought, wow, somebody really needs to open up a life-affirming women's medical clinic in Boise that does ultrasounds. And again, it was that moment where I went, oh, I need to start it. Okay, Lord. So that was the very first Stanton Healthcare Clinic. And I opened that up, rolled up my shirt sleeves, gathered a good team of people to open our first clinic. We set up right next door to Planned Parenthood. And since then, we have multiple clinics, not only in Idaho, but out of state and even out of the country. Stanton Belfast in North Ireland. We just opened up a Stanton Scotland in Edinburgh. We have a public policy center in Washington, D.C., and so we're really wanting to provide exceptional care to women facing unexpected pregnancies. And we bring on board some of the best and brightest in the medical field, physician assistants, nurse practitioners, four-year RDMS sonographers. We have a third-party accreditation, which means we have the highest standard in medical excellence. And so I'm really proud of what our team has built. And it's important because women deserve the best that we can offer, right? That's what they deserve. And so it's a game changer. When a woman walks into a clinic and she's given hope, that's really the product. It's hope. And then you add to that compassionate services and quality healthcare, women end up choosing life. And do you know what they say to us, Lila? We get this time and time again where a woman's had her baby, she comes into Stanton, we get to meet the baby, and she'll pull me aside or trained client advocate or the nurse practitioner that worked with her. And she says, not only did you save my baby's life, you saved my life. So what we provided our centers, this part of the movement, is a catalyst for change in a woman's life. Now, what do we hear the pro-choice side always saying? Women need abortion because it's going to get them out of poverty. Women need abortion because it's going to allow them go on to higher education. Women need abortion because it's going to magically fix the foster care system. Well, you know what? 50 years of unfettered access to abortion hasn't fixed broken systems or solved the problems that women face. So they've had their chance. They've had that 50 years. And what we see statistically, when we can intervene in that crisis situation and everything surrounding that woman that compels her to consider abortion, when you can bring hope, care, life coaching, wellness care, that's a game changer that changes her life forever.
So what services is Stanton providing? What's your list of
services? Sure. So we, of course, provide lab-grade pregnancy testing and verification, limited ultrasounds exams, prenatal vitamins, baby supplies, maternity clothes, parenting classes, mommy and me classes. The list goes on and on. We also do individualized wellness care, STD testing and treatment with Sexual Integrity incorporated into that. Just really the list goes on and on. And daddy boot camps, bringing the fathers involved, which is a major thing, you know, to have the fathers involved. And so we're really excited that, you know, we're adding kind of this wellness component to what we're doing. Again, you'll oftentimes hear from the pro-choice side that we only care about the baby and we don't care about any other issues. It's only being pro-birth. And that just simply isn't true. And all the stats show that. But at our clinics, we really look at the whole woman. We have a holistic approach to valuing her, providing her care, and then also, you know, for the life of her child.
So Senator Elizabeth Warren, we were talking about this earlier, has vowed that she wants to shut you down, basically, that they're your fake clinics. And there have been tons of pro-abortion pundits and activists who have not just talked about wanting to shut down pro-life medical centers, but they actually want to physically vandalize or harm those in pro-life medical care. I mean, even Jane Fonda was on The View recently and talked about how she called for the murder of pro-life politicians who are working to protect lives and also behind trying to provide more resources and freedom for groups like yours to actually operate. What's your response to all of that?
Isn't it hypocritical?
All of those accusations.
Yeah, it's a great question, Lila, because isn't it just hypocritical that they say that women, if abortion is, you know, no longer accessible to women, that it's a horrible thing because women already don't have the support that they need. So their first response is to, you know, have this anger and vitriol against nonprofit charitable women centers that are actually there to help women. That's what the first thing when Rose overturned.
They accuse you of lying.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the accusation.
Sure.
Right? They say you're lying to women by telling them false information about abortion or about
or that we're
medical
fake
care. Now, obviously, this is bogus. You know, they accuse that of anyone pro-life. But why do you think that that lie has caught a hold in some people's minds?
Well, I think it's really exposing their heart that they actually don't care about women and quality health care and the support that women actually deserve. Because that's the other thing. We serve the same demographic as Planned Parenthood. It's the same abortion-minded woman. Well, our clinics are full and our clinics are busy. Women want to access our services, right? And so when you have Elizabeth Warren and AOC and other people attacking centers like ours, it's showing really their total lack of respect and care for women. And it's all about abortion. They love abortion. They are radically pro-abortion. And so the attack on centers like Stanton Healthcare that we saw, in fact, we had to hire private security after Roe was overturned. Thankfully, our police department's great, our local police department. So they upped their patrols. We were very preemptive in making sure that there wouldn't be any attacks on our centers. And so the security was very visible. But what a shame. What an absolute shame that we actually had elected officials, lawmakers, pundits, like you said, attempting to prevent women from accessing our charitable services. I mean, that is just an absolute shame. And so one of the things that we did, Lila, is we took three of our Stanton moms and their Stanton babies to Washington, D.C. It was a client-led campaign by Stanton that was not fake to me, is what it was called. And our moms went and met with lawmakers with their babies to share what Stanton did for them and what pregnancy centers actually do for women. And it was great. We met with a lot of wonderful lawmakers. We even went right to Senator Warren's office, and our moms read their letters to Senator Warren's staff. We attempted to go to AOC's office. She literally shut the door on us and locked it, and her office was closed. And so we just did a little news conference right out in front of her office. But that's the power that we have on our side. It's the women telling their stories of how they were transformed by accessing the services of clinics like Stanton Healthcare. And that's the game changer. It really is.
And I want to talk about one of those stories.
Yes.
Tell me about a woman. You serve so many. I think it's 2,000 clients that you're serving annually right now, just in your Boise and Oregon facilities. But tell me a story, a recent story, maybe post Roe v. Wade's overruling, about a client that you served and how what service looks like right now with the post-Roe America terrain.
Yeah, it's, you know, I tell our team, it's our moment to shine, really. You know, life-affirming medical clinics like Stanton, the wonderful pregnancy care centers across the nation have always been doing such a powerful work. And thankfully, centers like ours outnumber abortion clinics. I think it's 4-1 last time I checked. So the pro-life movement's ready. We have really amazing clinics all across the nation. The doors are open and not only are ready to serve women, we have a track record of serving women with exceptional care and making a difference. And so we're ready. It's our moment to shine. I have a really powerful story to share with you, and this is right after Roe was overturned. We actually received a phone call from a young woman, and I'm allowed to share her story. She was reached out to our local Planned Parenthood, was feeling pressure by her boyfriend to get an abortion. Of course, Idaho, thankfully, is one of the states that had a trigger law in place. So when Roe was overturned, we had a ban. And Planned Parenthood actually coached her to go across state lines to Oregon, to a little town called Ontario. So they had her go across state lines, and then they did a telehealth appointment on her phone from her car in a McDonald's parking lot.
For a self-abortion.
For a self-abortion.
In her car.
In
by
her
a
car.
McDonald's.
And they had a pickup spot for her to get her abortion pill, and it was at a FedEx drop-off point. So she's there with her boyfriend. She gets that. She's in the car. She describes it as she's has her little cup of water, and she's getting ready to take the first set of pills. Her boyfriend, who was pressuring her, saying, just take it. Just take the pill. Just take it. Could you imagine being in a car doing this, like, drug cartel, abortion trafficking, abortion situation, telehealth appointment, these pills in your car, your boyfriend saying, take it, take it, as she's hesitating, going, I don't know if I want to do this. This doesn't feel right. You know, her instincts were all kicking in. She takes the first set of pills, completely regrets it, reaches out to her sister in tears saying, I want to change my mind. Is it too late? Can I change my mind? Her sister remembers seeing at our Stanton Clinic, which is directly across the Planned Parenthood in Meridian, Idaho, we have signs that say abortion pill reversal, walk-ins welcome. Her sister remembers seeing that sign. So they look up Stanton Healthcare, they call, we get her in immediately. She meets with one of our client advocates, she meets with our physician assistant, and thankfully we got it soon enough in between her taking the second set of pills, we're able to begin the abortion pill reversal process. Now, Planned Parenthood hates that this exists because they never factored in that there would be a window of time where a woman would be able to change her mind and get the help she needs from centers like Stanton Healthcare. And this is another game changer.
Well, and for those listening, the abortion pill, it's a regimen. There's not just one pill. There's multiple pills.
There's a series
explain,
of pills.
Explain how that works for those listening.
So there's
not one, there's a series.
Yep,
there's two parts of the process.
There's a series of pills that you have to take on two different days. The first set of pills you take, and then you wait until the next day to start the second dose. If you catch it in between that time period, there's a small window, but there's still a window where a woman can actually reverse the process if she goes to somebody, a medical professional who's trained in abortion pill reversal.
That's incredible. Can you explain why that is?
Yes.
What did those first pills do versus the second?
Progesterone is basically what she's taking.
But the first pills are designed to do what?
The first pills are designed to begin the process of destroying the tiny little human and having the woman's body start to reject the baby. And so, and again, imagine this, a woman's alone typically by herself, turning homes, cars, whatever it might be, into abortion clinics by herself taking this pill. It's a really traumatic experience on women. And in fact, we're seeing more and more studies. We've always known that the majority of women reject abortion, surgical abortions. And now we're seeing, again, there's this larger window of time where a woman is wrestling with her decision. And that's the other thing that Planned Parenthood doesn't want people to know. The majority of women don't just wake up and want to get an abortion one day. They, up until the day they get to the abortion clinic or take the abortion pill, they're wrestling with it back and forth. Do I want to do this? Don't I want to do this? And so that's why their regret is oftentimes so strong after they start an abortion procedure or even complete the abortion procedure. There's that sting of regret. So, yeah, it's a really powerful thing that we're able to provide the abortion pill reversal. What's great with this client, I was sharing this mom, this young woman, her first pregnancy, she's able to reach out to Stanton Healthcare, comes to our clinic. We're able to begin the abortion pill reversal process. And I'm very proud and excited to announce to you that that little baby boy was born a week ago. And that is a baby that that was scheduled to die from the abortion pill through abortion trafficking across state lines. And Stanton Healthcare was able to intervene when this woman reached out for help and to save that baby's life and also really, as she describes it, save her life.
Wow.
Yeah. Is that incredible?
It's incredible.
We're not making this stuff up. You know what I mean?
Well, Planned Parenthood says that you are. I mean, that's right. The thing. The media, that it, many in the media that are pro-abortion, politicians, Planned Parenthood, they hate abortion pill reversal. Because
they hate it.
It first of all suggests that women might regret the abortion once it's begun, once they take that first set of pills before the second, which forces the miscarriage, the forced miscarriage of the babies or the baby. But it's also because they don't want women to stop that abortion.
They don't
want that to happen.
They actually don't care about a woman having a choice. They're the ones that tout that they're all about a woman's choice. Well, when a woman changes her mind and feels the sting of regret, they are not there to help her. In fact, we know documented cases where women will reach out to Planned Parenthood or the abortion pill provider saying, I changed my mind. And they tell them, remember, you signed documents that said that, you know, you cannot change your mind on this. We will not help you with this.
The documents actually say you're not allowed to.
Yes, that it is recommended you do, you are to finish this process and not change your mind. And we will not help you change your mind. We will not assist you. They will not. And so pregnancy centers right now and life-affirming clinics like Stanton that offer abortion pill reversal were their only lifeline. And, you know, there's a lot of disinformation, really bad misinformation out there, Lila, that says that abortion pill reversal is fake, it doesn't really work. Well, at Stanton Healthcare, we have 5 babies that exist because of abortion pill reversal.
Wow.
So I get to look into the eyes of those little babies and know that it is very, very real. And it is successful when it's caught in that window of time.
And we're going to see a picture of one of those little guys.
Yes.
That was just born from the woman that was told to take the abortion pill outside of McDonald's by Planned Parenthood right after Roe. And look at her beautiful little boy.
That's right.
Look at this.
Yeah. And that baby, I mean, that is a celebration moment for the entire pro-life movement. All of us, Lila Rose, because it takes everybody and every arm of the movement all across the nation, everybody working together on the same page, on the same team. That's what saves the lives of children. You know, having that abortion ban in Idaho, having clinics like Stanton Healthcare, having the funds to have billboard campaigns that say abortion pill reversal so that sister could see it. You know, so the financial supporters, the donors, everybody plays a role. The volunteers, you know, and those professionals are, I look at our sonographers and our physician assistant and our nurses and our MDs that are so trained and qualified that are saying, I want to use my professional licensing and my experience to help women and save lives. Like, that is such a gift to the movement. And so, again, this is an incredible time. We're living in a post-Roe America. Can you believe it, Lila? In our lifetime, we're seeing it.
Well, and you're in a state that has had a trigger law and now abortion is banned. You're
That's
in Idaho.
Right.
I mean, we're in California here where it's gone the opposite direction.
I know.
So this battle is reaching a fever pitch.
It is.
And it's time to double down as a movement to say, double down on service. Double down on legislative efforts, double down on education, because the battle is on. And every day there's children that would either be born or will be killed.
That's right. Well, isn't it
and
heartbreaking that some states like California, like Michigan, are worse off now than they were before Roe was overturned? So, yeah, Roe being overturned was a day to celebrate. But right after that day, man, right, it's the starting line, not the finish line. Like, game on. The real work begins now, just like you said.
Abortion pills are now the most common kinds of abortions in America. Before it was surgical, first trimester surgical abortion. Now it's the abortion pills. This is by design. It's been fast-tracked through the FDA by multiple administrations. And you're seeing the fallout from that.
We are. And, you know, it was the abortion industry's really their kind of golden ticket of skirting laws in different states. And especially now that Roe's been overturned, they've been navigating and preparing to make sure that, you know, the abortion pill would be the way to go. And it's always about profit for them, Lila, as you know. I mean, it's just you know, simplifies the process. They don't actually have to have MDs on site that are actually, you know, performing surgical abortions like it used to be. Now you can have MDs off site that are just signing off on things. And then you have these little med techs that are giving out the abortion pill. It's all about reducing cost and increasing profit for Planned Parenthood. That's what it's always been about. They have sweetheart deals with the pharmaceutical companies that make the abortion pill. And so this is really something they thought was going to just streamline their profits, make things way easier in, you know, women not having to have post-op, pre-op and post-op like you do with surgical abortions. But there's a couple things they didn't factor in. And the biggest one to me, and we're seeing this at our clinics, you know, it used to be a surgical abortion is, you know, a 15, maybe a 30-minute procedure. Well, now with the abortion pill, the abortion process is drawn out to 2, 3, maybe even 4 days, okay? So now you have women that have a longer time to process and wrestle with their abortion decision even after they started it. Before, they only had 15 minutes to try and change their mind, and that wasn't enough time to change their mind. Now, with women taking the abortion pill, they're by themselves, they're all alone, they're wrestling with this decision, and they're changing their minds mid-stream, mid-abortion process. And so they're getting online, and they're Googling, I took the first abortion pill, can I change my mind? Is it too late? And that's where we have very intentional online advertising to make sure that, you know, our name, Stanton Healthcare, centers across the nation, their names are popping up with these Google searches so they know they can access our care. And if it's caught soon enough, we can begin the abortion pill reversal process. Planned Parenthood never factored that in, that we would have brilliant doctors that would come up with a safe and healthy protocol to potentially reverse the abortion process. And that is why the abortion industry and Planned Parenthood are spreading a massive disinformation campaign. Talk about disinformation. It's coming from the abortion industry trying to discourage women from accessing abortion pill reversal. And it's terrible because these women are reaching out for a lifeline. They're reaching out for help and support. If they go back to Planned Parenthood or whoever the abortion pill provider was, they're told there's nothing we can do. You're on your own. If they find a center like Stanton, we're going to come alongside them and do everything we can to reverse the process.
Or they fearmonger and say your child's going to have some sort of
disability
or it's going to be an incomplete abortion if you you know, stop and you won't be able to save the life of your baby. When the reality is there have been, I think it's well over 6,000 lives have been saved through abortion pill reversal.
Yeah.
Every single one of those children, beautiful.
It's amazing.
Born healthy. And the reason for this is the treatment protocol with abortion pill reversal is progesterone.
Yeah.
It's used already.
It's very simple.
And has been used in healthcare for decades.
Yes.
So it's not some like strange exploratory drug. It's experimental drug. It is
it's,
a commonplace
it's a
practice
commonplace
already.
It is.
For
and
healthcare
it's
for mothers.
Just reversing what had been started. So I was talking to a pro-choice reporter who was really trying to make this point of, you know, this how dangerous this could be, or it's fake abortion pill reversal, or there's no way this could be, and, you know, this is bad healthcare, and how could you do this to a woman's body? It's going to be horrible if their child survives mid-process, just on and on and on. And I said, how can you say that the abortion pill process to start it is safe and one of the safest things on the planet, yet somehow us gently intervening with progesterone to do an abortion pill reversal is the most dangerous, horrific, crazy thing to do. I said, you have to say that the start of it is what's dangerous. You can't all of a sudden now look at it with a totally different lens when we're doing something very simple that is a medical process that is getting tremendous results and perfectly fine on a woman's body, and perfectly, we're seeing great outcomes where the babies are born full term, healthy. We've had 5 at Stanton abortion pill reversal babies that have been born. And so that's the thing. Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry is terrified because, like you said, they don't want women changing their minds because they don't want that out there, that women regret abortions. They work really hard to cover that up. And they also don't want liability.
Right.
Women could start suing.
And they will.
They will.
Should.
And they should. Exactly.
So there was a study done in California by a very notorious pro-abortion doctor, and we're going to do a deep dive exclusive just on this topic, but I wanted to bring this up as an example of the gaslighting, the lying, saying this is, you know, the abortion pill is so safe and then the reversal is so dangerous when it's the exact opposite.
Yeah, totally. I like the word gaslighting.
They started, I mean, people throw that term around, but this is
real gaslighting.
Yeah. I mean, because this is like an abuse. I mean, these women are effectively abuse victims of the abortion industry, the way that they're lied to and treated. And in this study, they had two cohorts, women that took the abortion pill and then women that didn't take the abortion pill. And they determined that they had to stop the study and they blamed abortion pill reversal for stopping the study when it was really the bleeding and the horrible consequences of the abortion pill caused the health conditions to stop the study. But they blamed the health conditions. They said the study was too dangerous. So basically the framing, this is a study on the abortion pill reversal, and there was all of these bad outcomes for the women. They had nothing to do with abortion pill reversal. It had to do with actually taking the abortion pill.
Yeah.
But in their headline, they blame abortion pill reversal.
Right.
I mean, it's a complete lie what they're saying here. But that's the whole show, right, from
that's
the abortion side is lying about this
technology. Well, they lie
technology.
About the hundreds of women that have died from surgical abortions. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. wouldn't it be profound if they would at least just say their names? But they won't even say or acknowledge
Tanya Reeves. The name.
Exactly.
Died in a Planned Parenthood.
Exactly.
In Chicago.
It gives you chills.
Bled to death. Mm-hmm.
And the media won't cover it. Mm-hmm. Here you have women that have died during surgical abortion procedures, and Planned Parenthood has completely lied and tried to cover it up. So of course they're going to do the same exact thing when it comes to taking the abortion pill. And it's heartbreaking. But again, the more we can get the accurate information out, mm-hmm. the more we can support the centers across the nation that are doing life-affirming quality care. And it's really amazing to see the level of care that's provided at life-affirming or pro-life pregnancy centers across the nation. And we have the traditional pregnancy help centers and care centers, and there's also a new and bold movement of actual life-affirming medical clinics, which is what Stanton is, where we have just the state-of-the-art accreditation and medical professional staffing, and really seek the highest standards of medical excellence. And we're really proud of what we built. Again, it's what women deserve. It's what I would want if I were going into a clinic, and combining it with that wellness care and that holistic approach, and understanding that, you know, women and men, we're physical beings, we're emotional beings, we're spiritual beings, and we have to treat all of that in a really cohesive way. And that's the game changer. And again, the biggest thing, Lila, it's hope. Mm-hmm. People just need hope mm-hmm. that they're strong enough, that they've got this, they're not alone. And, you know, I love when I get a share with our Stanton moms, you know, because we don't charge for any of our services. They're getting each individual client is getting thousands of dollars in donated medical care services, maternity and baby resources and supplies. And sometimes they'll ask, like, how am I able to get this at no charge? And we explain to them, there are people that believe in our work and they believe in you and they believe in the women of Idaho and across the nation. And they donate financially or they give of their time so that we can provide these services at no charge. And there's a real community standing with them, and it just blows their minds. They are so touched. And then do you know what happens? Once they go through the pregnancy and they have the baby, they then become givers. And Lila, it's so amazing. It gives me chills. This is what will really tear me up is when a Stanton mom comes by with her baby on her hip and she's got, you know, a bag with her and she's like, I don't need these baby clothes anymore. I want to donate them to Stanton. I think another mom could use them. Or I got a couple boxes of maternity clothes that I don't need anymore. I wanted to donate them to another mom. And it goes full circle. Mm. And they're now part of the advocacy and making a difference in women's lives.
One thing that the criticism, again, from the pro-abortion side is, among their many lies and criticisms, is that the care stops at birth. Right. You do the pregnancy test.
You're only pro-birth.
Maybe you do prenatal care, which, by the way, Planned Parenthood doesn't do prenatal care.
Yeah. So
right there, it's like, you're doing prenatal care. They don't. Tell me which one cares about parents and children. But they say the care stops at birth. What does the care look like after the baby's born at Stanton?
So at Stanton, we're
What's the relationship like with the clients?
Yeah, what's it like? So I can, in my mind, picture now all the women and their babies that through the years we've kept an intact relationship
with.
One of our very first Stanton babies, and I have permission to share her name, is Paulina. Mm-hmm. She's 14 years old right now.
Wow.
I just had lunch with her and her mom 2 weeks ago. Yeah, we went out to lunch and she wants to be an attorney. How incredible is that? A little Stanton baby save who is a pro-life advocate in her
Keep in
own
mind
right.
for people listening, this little girl, Planned Parenthood, wanted to kill.
She was scheduled to be killed through abortion at Planned Parenthood in Boise. Her mom had the appointment. And again, it was another sister. It was a sister situation where the sister had heard of Stanton through a colleague at her work, and her sister convinced her, just go to this place, Stanton, and at least get all the information you can. And that way, whatever you decide, you can lay your head at night knowing you basically did your due diligence to research your options. And again, it was a situation of an abusive boyfriend. And this story is really powerful. This boyfriend actually put a gun to his head and said to her, and I can say her name, Jessica, this is the mom of Paulina, if you don't get the abortion, I'm gonna kill myself. So this was a major manipulation tool and tactic that now Jessica felt guilt that she was going to ruin his life to the extent that he would actually kill himself. Now, he was probably just sort of faking it as an abuse and manipulation. A coercion tactic is what it was. And that's the other thing. Planned Parenthood talks about, you know, we're only pro-birthers. And then they all, what's their other favorite line? You're forcing women, forced pregnancy, forced birth. Well, they're forgetting how many women are actually enduring unwanted and forced abortions. It's a real serious issue. The majority are unwanted abortions, and women feel...
In your experience.
Absolutely.
I think that's an important point.
It is an important point.
It's a very important point because people say, because there are some women...
Sure.
...who are passionately, absolutely, I want to have this abortion.
And they'll say, it's the best
Their
thing
mind
I ever
is
did.
Set, and they'll say afterwards, it's the best thing I ever did. And maybe there was even a boyfriend or even a husband in the picture who didn't want the abortion. That does happen.
And couldn't save the baby. Right.
It does happen.
That does happen.
You're saying in your experience working in care,
The
majority of women were coerced.
Absolutely. The two stories that popped in my head to share with you, the APR reversal right after Roe was overturned, that was a boyfriend pressuring her, literally saying to her face in the car, just take it, just take the abortion pill. Pressure, 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 pressure. And then Paulina's mom, he put a gun to his head and said if she didn't have the abortion, it would ruin his life and her life and he would kill himself. And pressure, pressure, pressure. So Roe actually didn't place an undue burden on women because they wouldn't have access to abortion. It placed an undue burden on women to feel coerced and pressured by society to get an abortion, whether it's parents, whether it's the boyfriend, a husband, job. We've created these societal pressures, sometimes familial pressures, whatever it might be, where women subconsciously or very directly, like the stories I told you, feel coerced and pressured to have an abortion.
Because if the expectation is, as a society at large, that abortion is on demand.
Absolutely.
And that it is can be the empowering choice for at least some women.
Yeah.
Then automatically there's an expectation if there's an unplanned, unexpected pregnancy that should be considered seriously.
Yeah.
Immediate pressure right there that you should consider ending the life of your baby, and that it actually is a form of practicing a constitutional right or some form of women's empowerment, that even to be a feminist or pro-women, you need to support this.
I have another story.
Is pressure and coercion already.
Yep.
That you would even have that as a menu option
That
you should read on your menu as a mother.
Just by it being
to kill
on
your
the
baby.
Menu creates a pressure that nobody factored in. Like people
well,
don't
they
realize.
Fact, the pro-abortion side knew this, obviously.
Of course, because they have an agenda.
But the woman,
but the average American thinking, well, I guess if a woman's right, I guess if, you know, I don't know, don't realize. And let me tell you another story. A good friend of mine going through law school, facing an unexpected pregnancy, this was 5 years ago, was astounded. And she's pro-life, okay? Astounded at how many fellow law students said to her, well, you're just going to get an abortion, right? She's going, no, I'm going to finish law school while I'm pregnant and I'm going to graduate. And it broke her heart.
When you're pregnant, it's automatically a position of vulnerability.
Right.
Because you are now serving and loving by nature, naturally, this baby in your body. And so at that point, it should trigger in the people closest to you support,
right.
encouragement, practical help. Like that should be the response.
That's right.
The word congratulations is the only appropriate response to hearing about a new life. And then how can I help you? Or, you know, how are you feeling? You know, solicitous about her situation, how she's doing, instead of, oh, well, what about abortion? You know, oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. You should have an abortion.
Yeah.
I mean, that immediately creates pressure and recalculates the whole thing for her to be a negative experience without the support that she deserves.
Well, and like it used to be, I share this often, like it used to be, you know, in the 30s, 40s, 50s, you know, you got pregnant with an unexpected pregnancy, you were shipped off to Aunt Mary's house, right? And then you came back 9 months later or whatever it was and acted like nothing happened, where you were shipped off so nobody would know about the unexpected pregnancy. You had the baby forcibly, you had to place it for adoption, and then you came back home and acted like nothing was wrong. Have we really changed as a society?
Mm.
I don't know that we have, because now we've just—
It's worse now. The baby,
it's worse.
The baby's killed.
We've seen—
At least in that scenario, the baby—
That's right.
Had a chance.
The baby's killed, and now the expectation is no longer, oh my, we better hide this, and you got to go to Aunt Mary's house. Now it's, oh gosh, we better hide this, go to Planned Parenthood. Or even worse, it's so cavalier, well, you're going to Planned Parenthood, aren't you? I'll drive you. I'll get your Uber. And again, whether it's coming from parents who feel that the dreams they had for their child is, you know, no longer what they want it to be, which is pretty selfish, or it's a boyfriend or a husband who doesn't want the responsibility, or we're hearing also, you think it wouldn't still be an issue, Lila, but it is in the workforce. There's a lot of pressure in the workforce. We have stories coming from, there was a woman who worked at, I can't remember, it was a store, big department store management position during her pregnancy, wasn't going to be able to move some of the boxes and stuff, and she was fired over it. Which
That's
is
illegal.
Like criminal, totally. Mm-hmm. But it still happens. I was shocked. There's a professor, I'm spacing her name, and she gives a whole talk on how women are pressured in the workforce to get abortions. And the whole argument is abortion, we haven't grown at all. Abortion has just sanitized it in a new way. And of course, how do we call it sanitizing when it's actually killing a baby? But it's actually created more of a burden on women to not have freedom to carry their baby to term and achieve their dreams and goals or continue with their job or continue with school.
Some women, I think, they are very much, I want to have this abortion. You know,
sure.
They seem dead set on it. And afterwards, they're saying, this was the best thing that happened to me. I'm totally fine.
Well, like the TikTok videos you see where women are going to get their abortions.
There's a callousness, a profound callousness. So absolutely, like you're saying, many, there is coercion, there is pressure. But for some, and maybe there's coercion and pressure deep down at a deep level there too, but they are free agents making moral choices and they're just saying, I'm doing this. What do you think is gone wrong there in the natural disposition, I think, of a human being in general, to have empathy and concern for others, to have a connectivity to your own flesh and blood. And in the case of a mother, your nurture instincts are often firing, but something can go wrong where sometimes the nurture instincts don't fire.
Right.
Where there's, you know, tremendous pressure or just, again, that free agent, that choice to say, I don't care. I'm going to shut down the natural
detachment.
Concern I might want to have, and I'm just going to be detached because I'm so dead set on this abortion. What do you think is going on there?
So I think there are some cases where there's a detachment or even a clinical term, disassociation, that occurs. But I also think we have to look at it as a society. We've had over 50 years of unfettered access to abortion. We have an entire generation that was open prey in their mother's womb. Their life was devalued by our United States government, by the highest court in the land. Your life has no value. It could have been killed in the womb. And that's where we have survivors of the abortion Holocaust, right? That's the name of an actual organization based in California. But also that's a broad term that can be used for any person born after 1973, when Roe was decided and abortion was decriminalized. So we have an entire generation or generations that their own life was devalued in the womb. And then you just look at society and you look at the garbage on TV and in music video games, all these things that have been this incremental desensitizing of the inherent value of every human life. And so I think that's where you see some of these TikTok videos or people that are just adamant about getting abortion, almost mocking it, cavalier, acting like it's no big deal. And, you know, is that because of brokenness in their own lives, things that they've been through, the breakdown in society, breakdown in, you know, belief systems and morality? There could really just be a lot of different things, but I think that's a huge factor that we have an entire generation who was devalued in the womb. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, we have a lot that are like you and I and this emerging pro-life generation of, you know, students, high school, college age that are very actively pro-life. But it does appear there is a segment that really doesn't value their own life. So if they're not going to value their own life, if it's been devalued by society, why are they going to value the life inside of them? And I think that's a big piece.
There's a temptation in every human heart to do
there
good
is.
Or to
sinful
good
nature
or to do wrong. And
yeah.
I think that's in past societies, past times in our country, we have had everyday people do heinous things,
horrible things
accepted by society, whether it's slavery or the treatment of, you know, Jews during the Holocaust. I mean, there's so many examples throughout human history of how does everyday people get swept up in the most heinous crimes?
Yeah.
And it's because we have the ability to choose. We have the ability to disassociate, to be desensitized, to be okay. And we have to make that decision and have eyes wide open to what is the injustice today?
Yeah.
And are we accepting it? After Roe was overturned, so Planned Parenthood talks about how they do only 3% of what they do is abortions, right? This is their like nonstop talking point that we do so many other things.
Yeah,
abortions is one
3%.
Of many. It's only 3% of what we do. The Planned Parenthood clinics in Idaho, what happened to them in Boise? What happened after Roe was overturned?
So we have two abortion clinics in the Treasure Valley out in Idaho and one in Meridian. We have a Stanton Healthcare clinic right across the parking lot. And then our first Stanton Healthcare is in Boise and located right next door to the Planned Parenthood in Boise. And when I say right next door, I mean right next door. The property line is, you know, 5 feet. And they'd been there for many, many years, and we saved a lot of babies and helped a lot of women who were on their way to Planned Parenthood that ended up coming to us. As soon as Roe was overturned, within a month, that Planned Parenthood in Boise closed down.
Why?
And it's pretty significant and pretty obvious.
Why?
That
I mean, what's their excuse?
Idaho had a trigger law, so abortion
was banned.
So Idaho
bans abortion.
Idaho bans abortion.
97% of what they do, they shut down.
Right.
Because they can't do the
3%. Shouldn't they be busier than ever trying to help women in a post-Roe America? Don't they do all these other services?
It's absurd.
Right. But because their abortion operations were halted, they closed down one of their primary Planned Parenthood abortion facilities, which, of course, was a great victory for us. But it was so obvious that it revealed their lie. It exposed their lie. That is that, abortion's only 3% of what they do, like you just said, and there's all these other services. And again, they kept saying, women are going to, you know, have no support. They're going to, you know, now that Roe's overturned, women are going to be desperate. Even for that reason alone, if they believed their own lie, wouldn't they stay open to try to help women in a post-Roe America? Mm-hmm. And then especially if they provide all these other services. Roe being overturned and Idaho having an abortion ban shouldn't have impacted their business at all. But of course, it did.
I want people listening to tag, save this video. If you're ever in a conversation with somebody who says that Planned Parenthood does so many things and abortion is one small part of what they do, so how could you possibly oppose them? Or God forbid if it's a Christian. I mean, there's even some Christians today who think they'll tolerate Planned Parenthood because of all the good that they do and ignore the killing of children. Remember this, after Roe v. Wade was overruled, they shut their doors, not just in Boise, but there have been dozens of Planned Parenthoods that have shut nationwide because now they can't do abortion, so they're closing down.
That's right. Well, and you know, for those Christians who will tolerate Planned Parenthood or even say they do a good work because of all these other things they provide, we know that's not true, that they are the largest abortion provider, you know, in the nation and in the world. But why don't we creatively come up with centers that provide all these services to women but don't do abortions? That's what Stanton does, right? And not only are we reaching out very intentionally to women facing unexpected pregnancies. We also have a broad outreach to women who are going through all sorts of things to make sure that they have the quality care and services they need. And we actually launched 4 years ago an outreach to the refugee community. And it's been absolutely beautiful to make sure that refugees have the support and the care that they need. We have translation services, and that's really grown into a beautiful part of our outreach. So we can do all these incredible things to reach out to women without having the abortion component. So why don't we focus on that as a society?
So what's next for Brandy Swindell in the post-Roe America?
Well, you know what? I say it's our moment to shine. It is, you know, the pro-life community, activists, leaders like you and I, groups like Stanton Healthcare. We need to work harder than ever. When Roe was overturned, I think we could all agree in the pro-life movement that it was a day to celebrate, but then it was time to roll up our shirt sleeves and get back to work. And it was really kind of a rebooting and a starting line for us to really continue to build a culture of life. And Lila, here's what we like to say. You know, Roe was overturned by the Supreme Court, but abortion hasn't necessarily been overturned in our American institutions. It hasn't been overturned in the heart of every American person. And so we need to continue to work to overturn Roe in society. And specifically, our goal now is to make abortion unthinkable. We have to make it unthinkable as a society. So that's what's next.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks
for having me. Keep up the amazing work. It's so needed.
Thank you, Lila.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to hit subscribe and share this episode with a friend so you too can learn how to change hearts and minds on abortion.